this morning in the Gospel of Mark. I'll apologize in advance. I'm going to have to keep this throat lozenge in my mouth, so if you'll bear with me, I'll try not to rattle it too much while I'm speaking this morning. Mark chapter 4. We've been looking at this gospel now for some time, and Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 34, and this part of the gospel consists of four parables. And all these parables have to do with the kingdom of God and how that kingdom in particular emerges with the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is teaching in this form of parables, and he's demonstrating the advancement of the kingdom through his coming. The main parable we've spent some time with the last several Sundays. That is what is covered in the first 20 verses. It's the parable of the soils. It's the sower that went out to sow and cast the seed. And this really is the main parable. It talks about how the word of God falls upon the human heart, and some are receptive and others are not. The final three parables in our chapter, beginning in verses 21 and running down through verse 34, they actually serve to reinforce that main parable. They're pulling on it. They're elaborating on it. They're strengthening its truth. They're driving home this need that we've seen in the parables, and that is this, that you must be prepared to receive God's truth. You should be open to hearing God's truth. Our text this morning, verses 21 to 25, are not so much a parable in the sense that they are more like a proverb. Illustrations given, proverbial sayings, and thus those sayings illustrated and they're demonstrated. Let me show you how the passage fits together, I'll introduce the topic, and then we'll look at it in more detail. Notice that there are two illustrations in our text this morning. Look at verse 21. He talks about a lamp and what you do with a lamp. And by that illustration, Jesus is going to teach something. The explanation of that illustration is in verse 22. What's the first word of verse 22? For. He's going to explain. He's saying, think of a lamp. What do you do with a lamp? Why? Well, here's the reason. Verse 22, nothing's hidden except to be made known. So you can see, he gives the illustration, and then he gives an explanation of that illustration. Look at the other illustration. Look down at verse 24, and really just into the verse a little ways. After the first colon, it says, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. This is the second illustration, or it's like a proverb that is given. And Jesus gives this kind of proverbial teaching. And then notice again in verse 25, what's the first word? And what's he going to do with that proverb? He's going to explain it. Okay? You with me? I know this is a bit technical here at the beginning of the service. You had an extra hour of sleep last night, so I know you're all with me, okay? This just is helpful that when you read something like this, you know how it fits together. We have two illustrations, a lamp and a measure. He explains those things. Those two pieces at the beginning and the end are now tied together by a command. And that's what you really want to look for in the passage. What is Jesus commanding? Look at what he's commanding. Look at verse 23. If anyone has ears to hear, let him what? There's the command. You must hear. Look at verse 24. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. So what you have is this. You have two illustrations with explanation, but they're linked together by this command to listen. And our Lord is compelling us to be careful how you listen. Be careful what you listen to, and be careful how you listen. So this morning, I want to preach to you on this text, and I've titled it this way, Listen Carefully. This is what Jesus is commanding of us, to listen carefully. Are you a good listener? We'll see why that's so important as we examine the text this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, would you help us in these few moments that we have to listen? You have graciously provided this beautiful place for us to sit in today. It's by your hand. And it is arranged and it is made to provide an atmosphere for listening. But Lord, we know that we can sit in here and we can hear and look to be listening, but our minds can be very much elsewhere. So would you help us by your grace to listen carefully today and know from this text why it's so important that we listen. Do this for your name's sake. Amen. Certainly you've had this experience. You have a conversation with someone or you speak to somebody and you're talking about a very particular thing, and pretty soon you go to your phone and you open your phone and all of a sudden you get an advertisement that corresponds to exactly what you were saying. That must be providential, right? We know what's going on by now, right? Your phone is listening to you. There are ways you can turn that off, I know, and you probably should. But here's what we know. Big tech is carefully listening to you. Why? It wants to gather all the information possible about you. It wants to know what's on your mind, what you're thinking about, so that it can, in turn, meet that need. Provide an advertisement that's right along your line of interest so that you will spend some money and ultimately fill their pockets, right? Well, while big tech is carefully listening to us to gather all the information possible to sell things to us, if anything, you can say they are careful listeners. They are taking heed. And in many ways, beloved, we struggle to do the same, especially when it comes to listening to God's truth. We struggle to listen. We struggle to really pay attention to what God is saying and know how it actually applies in our lives and keep it with us and meditate on it and make full use of it in our lives. We struggle. Things can simply go in one ear and right out the other. Because that is our struggle and that is our propensity, even as the Lord's redeemed people. In our text this morning, Jesus compels us to listen carefully to God's truth. He compels us to be an active, attentive listener because so much depends on how you hear, how you take in what is being explained, how you take in God's word and God's truth. Therefore, you and I must work at being good receivers or listeners of God's truth. Now, why is that the case? The command is very easy in our text. We've seen it in verse 23 and in the beginning of verse 24. He says, listen, pay attention. But it's those illustrations that give us the reasons why we must listen. They indicate for us the importance of listening to what Jesus says, to what God says and what God reveals in His Word. And the first of these is in verses 21 and 22, and we are told to listen carefully because God is revealing what is true. Look at verse 21. Here's the illustration. Jesus said to them, these are His disciples, those that are following Him, He says to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket? You answer the question. Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket? You tell me. What's the answer? What's the answer to this one? Is a lamp brought in to be put under a bed? What's the answer? How about the third? Is a lamp brought in to be put on a stand? Yes. That's simple enough. Jesus gives these questions, and people from everyday life would understand these things very clearly. You don't bring a light in to hide it and reveal it. You actually bring a light in to make something known and something plain. I had this experience on Friday when we had the rain Thursday night and the wet weather and the windy weather. Woke up Friday morning and there was no power at our house. And so I went downstairs to the basement to switch over the breaker box, right, so that we could start up the generator and get something going. And when I went down there, it was totally dark. So what did I do? I grabbed a flashlight, and the first thing I did is I held it up like this. I didn't grab the flashlight and hide it in my shirt or something like that. I held it up so I could see as much as possible from the light of that thing. That's exactly what Jesus is saying here. A lamp is brought forward in order to make something known, not to hide something. Now, here's our question. What is the lamp? Jesus is talking about a lamp. What is this lamp that was brought to make something known? If you read this, actually, in the original language, our translation says this. Jesus asked the question, is a lamp brought in to be put under a bushel? There's actually what we would call the definite article before the term lamp. And it really could read this way, is the lamp brought in to hide? I think Jesus is referring to a specific thing. There is a lamp that has been brought to shed light on something. What is the lamp? Well, look at this. Look at John's Gospel and John chapter 1. In Mark's Gospel, turn forward just a few pages to John's Gospel, the first chapter. John introduces his Gospel describing Jesus before his incarnation. We're introduced to him as the Word that was with God and was God in the very beginning in verse 1. But then John says this of Jesus. Look at verse 4 of John 1, verse 4. In him, that is in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now look at verse 9. He says, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Answer me, who is John describing as the light? It's Jesus. Jesus would say this of himself in John chapter 8 and verse 12. Jesus would say, I am the light of the world. So back in Mark chapter 4, when Jesus says the light is come, and you don't try to hide the light, you actually hold it up to reveal things, I think Jesus is actually referring to himself. He's saying, the light of the world has come. Well, how is Jesus the light of the world in this way? Let me just walk you through a few passages, and stick with me. This will make sense toward the end. You're in John chapter 1. Look down at verse 19 of John 1. We're told this, and this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? This is John the Baptist, verse 20. John the Baptist confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. And now they ask, are you the prophet? And he answered, no. Who is this prophet? They're seeing John the Baptist and what he's doing, and he's gathering a following, and they're saying, are you the prophet? Muslim, the religion of Islam will teach you that this is Muhammad. who is this prophet? Well, look back at Deuteronomy 18. The Old Testament, fifth book in your Old Testament, Deuteronomy 18. What are they referring to? What are these Jews referring to when they're asking John the Baptist, are you the prophet? What particular prophet are they referring to? Deuteronomy 18, look at verse 15. Moses is speaking to the children of Israel. In verse 15, Moses says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from among your brothers. It is to him you shall what? Listen. God's going to raise up this prophet, and you must listen to him. Look down at verse 18. I will, this is the Lord speaking now, I will raise up for them a prophet like you, Moses, from among their brothers, and I will put my what? Words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. What God tells Moses is, I'm going to raise up a prophet like you, and it's all important that they listen to this prophet. He will have my very words in his mouth, and when he speaks, people must listen to what he commands. In other words, listen very carefully to this prophet. Who is that prophet? It's not John the Baptist, right? We saw that John chapter 1. They thought maybe it was him. Now go back to John's gospel and look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12, look at verse 44. You'll see how all of this comes together. John 12, 44, and Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. Verse 46, I have come into the world as what? Light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Now go down to verse 49. What is this way that Jesus has come as light? Is he speaking literally? He's like a bright light? How has he shed light? Verse 49, he says, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. Here's what Jesus is saying. I am that prophet. I am speaking to you exactly what the Father has told me. And when I do that, it is to bring you light. It is to reveal to you what God's true will is. So listen carefully. Jesus came to make God's purposes known. Go back to Mark 4. I went through all of that we would understand. When Jesus talks about this lamp, he's saying, I am the lamp that has come, and the reason I've come is to make something known. God's words were given to me that I might speak them, that they would enlighten you, that you would know something. Now look at verse 22 of Mark 4. Now he's going to explain the illustration. He says, for nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. The first thing Jesus has said is this, in verse 21, it is God's purpose to reveal his truth. That's the reason for a lamp. Look at verse 22, though. The next thing he's going to say in verse 22 is this, God reveals his truth in his time. Notice verse 22. Nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor secret except to come to light. Those are parallel statements. And you say, well, that seems odd. I mean, normally, don't you hide something so that it's unseen? Isn't that why you hide something? But what Jesus is saying is this. He's dealing with divine purposes, and he says, God sometimes hides things so that they will be ultimately revealed in his timing. You do this. In only a month and a half, Christmas will be upon us, right? Maybe you already have some Christmas gifts and you have them hidden away somewhere in your house. Well, are you hiding those things for the purpose of keeping them concealed all the time? You're hiding them, why? Because there is a day, there is a point in which you're going to make them known and reveal them, but you're keeping them hidden until that time. We do this like in a treasure hunt, right? You might hide things in the yard for your children, and it's a treasure hunt, but your hiding is intended that they might find those things and discover them. This is what Jesus is saying. He's saying this. The intent of God has always been to make known his will about his kingdom, but to do it in the right time. Jesus says, nothing is hidden, but that God didn't intend to make that known. And now the lamp has come to shine some light on that thing, and there's going to be a time when now it's like Christmas, and the day comes, and now it's going to be fully known. Question is, what has been hidden and when will it be made known? Okay, y'all with me still? Okay. What has been hidden? In the context, go back in chapter 4, look at verse 10. Jesus says this, and when he was alone, that is Jesus, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the what? What is a secret? Something hidden. The underlying word in the original language is the word mystery. And this is a mystery regarding what? The kingdom of God. And what Jesus is saying is this. I have come to preach the kingdom of God. We know that from Mark chapter 1. But there's something mysterious about it. When the Jews heard the word kingdom of God, they thought of army and this messianic figure coming, overthrowing their captors to Rome, setting up a military conquest, that this would be the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, there's actually something mysterious about this kingdom of God that you don't yet understand. I'm speaking in parables because it kind of conceals this truth. But there is coming a day in which this truth will be made known. When is that day? When would be the full knowledge of this mystery of the kingdom? And for that, I want you to look at Mark chapter 9. Look at Mark 9. And we read this amazing story of Jesus and Peter and James and John on the Mount of Transfiguration, as it's often referred to. And Jesus takes his disciples up on this high mountain, and we're told in this event that Jesus himself becomes radiant. And it's like his light actually shows through. His true glory as God eternal shines through his human flesh, as it were. And for one instance on this mount, Peter, James, and John see Jesus as he truly is, not veiled in his humanity, but in all of his glorious display. And they're amazed by this. And Peter says, we need to do something about this. Let's set up these tents. Let's just hang out here. This is awesome. And they're probably thinking, yeah, this is what we've been looking for. Just do this in Rome and we'll see what happens. This would be fantastic. And yet Jesus tells them this. Look at verse 9 of Mark 9. And as they were coming down the mountain, he, that is Jesus, charged them to tell no one what they had seen. Doesn't that seem odd? You would think he'd say, go tell everybody about this. He says, don't tell anybody. Why? Look at the middle of verse 9. Don't do it until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Jesus says, it is not time to reveal the fullness of this kingdom until after my resurrection from the grave. The disciples didn't understand all of that at that point. The very next verse says they were trying to figure out, what does he mean, raised from the dead? They still were in the dark about those things. But beloved, what happened after Jesus rose from the dead and 50 days later when the Holy Spirit came upon those disciples? It's like the lights went on. Oh! Jesus' kingdom is a spiritual kingdom in the sense that he conquered our greatest enemy, which is sin and death. And therefore, we proclaim to all of you, receive Jesus as Savior. He's demonstrated his absolute authority by conquering death, which is the result of sin. And the lights came on. And this is exactly what Jesus is referring to in Mark chapter 4 when he says this, the lamp has come. It has come to make known what is true about God's kingdom. Right now it's hidden, but there's coming a time when God is going to make it fully known, and you'll be a part of that. And it was after his resurrection, and the Holy Spirit came to them to help them understand that. Now go back to Mark 4. So here's the application. It's God's purpose to reveal truth, verse 21. God reveals truth in his timing. Therefore, verse 23, if you comprehend God's truth, you must do what? Listen, receive it, hear it. You see what he's saying? I'm giving you truth, disciples. Listen. I'm giving you a little more. Listen. You're going to need this. Remember this. Do you realize this little phrase that Jesus gives in verse 23? If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. He uses that repeatedly in his ministry. Imagine if I did that after every main point in the sermon or every Sunday you're here. I said, if you have ears to hear, hear. You probably eventually would begin to mock me and say, oh, I wonder how many times Matt's going to say that today. Jesus repeatedly said this kind of thing. Why is he saying that? He's saying, listen, if you have any comprehension of what I'm saying, you're not like the other three soils earlier in the passage, in the chapter. You have received to some degree an understanding of what I'm telling you. Therefore, recognize that as God's grace and open your ears. Listen more. If God's given you those ears to hear, take advantage of that. Listen. Use those ears because you are extremely blessed. We should listen carefully when God's word is given in whatever capacity because God is graciously revealing to us what is true. This is Jesus' point. The light has come. Reveal what is true. It was hidden for a while. It's going to be made known. You need all of it, so listen up. So I ask you, beloved, how good of a listener are you? We come week after week. We sit in these services. Maybe you come additionally on Wednesday. I hope you would. Maybe even Sunday evening. How well do you listen? Well, you say, well, I listen well. I sit here. I take notes. Okay, as soon as this service is over at noon, do you remember any of it? If I got with you in the middle of the week and said, hey, tell me what the Lord taught you on the Lord's Day and how you've been applying it to your life, you'd be, oh, that was 3 or 4 days ago. I haven't thought about it since. Is that listening? If you sit here in the service and God gives you some comprehension of this truth, do you realize that a lost person can come in here and sit in these chairs and what I've just gone through with you just to try to explain to you how Jesus is talking about these things, they would say, what's that guy talking about, man? That's boring. What does that have to do with my life? But you're a child of God. Your heart has been opened. Your soil is soft. You have some comprehension. You say, I know these things. They're true. I understand them. You hear them here. Do you keep them with you? Do you meditate further on them? God's given you ears to hear. How well are you keeping it with you? This is Jesus' command. Well, why is that so important? That's found in the last illustration, quickly. Secondly, Jesus says, listen carefully, because God rewards those who carefully hear his truth. God rewards those who hear his truth. Look at verse 24. Jesus says this. He said to them, pay attention to what you hear. This means process information by giving further thought. Pay attention. Take it in. Meditate on it. Consider it. Note it. Give further understanding to it. Why should you do that? Verse 24, he says, because with the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. This is the kind of Proverbs that Jesus gives. This is the language of commerce in an agrarian society. A measure. That's like measuring a bushel of some kind of agricultural good, a bushel of grain. And Jesus says this was a common saying, with what measure you have, you measure a bushel. If you're honest in that measurement, it will be measured back to you. This is the idea of reciprocity. What I give, I will receive. This is reciprocity. We might say it this way, you get out of it what you put into it. I think that's kind of a parallel proverb in our vernacular. And what Jesus is saying by this is your diligence to hear and understand Jesus' words, God's truth, will be returned to you. There is a good return on your investment that you make in striving to hear God's word. Not only that, he says God will give you more, because look at verse 24 again. With the measure you use in listening, it will be measured back to you, and still what? More will be added to you. Here's what Jesus is saying. God's reward for listening extends beyond mere reciprocity. God will give you more. What does that look like? Beloved, if you take time to spend in God's word, if you listen carefully whenever God's word is given, and you give yourself to meditating on his word, to hiding it in your heart, to making sure it permeates all the areas of your life, you will get insight and wisdom that you need, and God is so gracious, he'll give you even more. If you work hard at applying what you hear, God will give you more. It's not the exact measure that you give to hearing what God has to say. God is so gracious, he abundantly gives you even more wisdom than you have in seeking that wisdom. Because God is gracious that way. But, on the other hand, look at verse 25. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be what? You know what that is, beloved? That's a warning. And Jesus is warning this way. He's saying God's justice eliminates what is rejected. If the word of God is given to you, and you hear it, but you don't really take it in and you don't really spend time with it, Jesus says, even what you have, what you've heard, that will be taken away. And it's like this. Someone again comes and sits in the services and the word of God is open and it's taught and you hear it. But you hear it, it's interesting, you go away. Pretty soon you develop this attitude of, yeah, whenever I sit down under the preaching of God's word, it's time to check out. And pretty soon you get to the point in your life where you're like, why am I even here? This doesn't really make a lot of sense. I mean, how long does, you know, Matt going to drone on? It's almost quarter till already. I mean, what? And any spiritual perception that you've had, you can look back on your life and remember times. I remember when I was riveted to come and sit and hear God's word, but now it's just all kind of blah. I believe the Lord is warning and he's saying, listen, if you're not a careful listener, Why should God open to you any more truth? If you're not working to receive it and understand it, why should he give you anything more? In fact, what you have, he'll take away. What are we to make of all of this? Jesus compels us to listen carefully to God's truth. This is Jesus. He's using very strong language. Listen up. Pay attention. Because God is revealing truth, and God will teach you by His Spirit. But if you reject that, if you're not eager to receive it and embrace it and work at staying by it, why should he give you anything else? Can I end this way? Your spiritual growth depends on your hunger for God's word. Are you hungry for God's word? If you come to God's word hungry, wanting to know what it has to say, being attentive and carefully listening, if you come humble, not I'm coming with what I think it should say, but I want to hear exactly what it says so I can align my life with it. If you come ready to obey, not just to hear it and say, that was very interesting, but actually to do it and put it into practice in my life. If you come to God that way week after week or whenever the time of day that you spend in God's word, guess what will happen? You'll grow and you'll mature. And God will reveal himself to you. And he'll reveal truth to you again and again that will help you grow. But if you are uninterested, and you are unteachable, and you are hardened, even what you have will be taken away. And what you have suddenly becomes dark and mysterious and unintelligible and unworthy of your time. So, beloved, listen to Jesus. Because Jesus compels you to listen to him. Let's pray.